Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Hey, we're about to have a lot of fun and share with you the most practical, realistic, most current home improvement information you're going to find anywhere. Hey, I'm Danny Lipford, along with my capable co-host, Joe Truini.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for spending part of your busy weekend with us. We really appreciate it. Do you have a question about your home? Of course you do, and that's why we're here each and every week to answer those questions. So get in touch with us. We'll see if we can help you out today.
Do you like to send emails? We like to get them. You can send us one right now by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask or pick up the telephone and call us anytime 24/7 at 800-946-4420. Also, don't forget about the Today's Homeowner Facebook page. A lot of things going on there. And yet another opportunity for you to reach out to us here at Today's Homeowner Radio. Hey, we really want to help you with any of those challenges that you're facing as a homeowner. It can get a little frustrating, a little overwhelming, but hey, we'll cut through all the clutter and help you with the information that you need to get you started in the right direction. And you know, a lot of people that listen to Today's Homeowner Radio are avid do-it-yourselfers. They're going to roll up their sleeves and get out there and get it done. But it's okay if you're one that want to hire it done. We also have a lot of information for you there as well, because there's a lot of things maybe you should be hiring out instead of trying to tackle yourself. So we try to help you with any of those. And Joe, you know, one of the things that we're always amazed at, especially recently here, is how expensive some things have gotten.
That's right.
So that's where, you know, finding economical ways and efficient ways to do things around the house are important. And of course, everybody's looking for their best return on their home improvement dollar investment. And so Joe and I have some statistics we want to throw at you here that might surprise you on some things, like the national average to remodel a kitchen.
Yeah, the national average cost to remodel a kitchen is between $11,000 and $42,000. With most homeowners spending around $30,000. Now, that's a lot of money. So, okay, what do you get for $30,000? Well, in this case, they're talking about a 200-square-foot kitchen with 30 linear feet of semi-custom cabinets, quartz countertops, very minor layout changes. You're not moving walls or anything like that. Mm-hmm. All new appliances, but no structural changes. So, again, mm-hmm. you're not moving walls. So, if you're thinking about it and you have a budget of about $10,000, you might want to wait because, you know, the low end is about $11,000. So I think people are often surprised, like, wow, so the average is around $30,000?
You know, there's a lot of ways, though, that you can kind of approach the kitchen in a facelift manner. And just kind of, you know, because that's one of the things that influence the look of a kitchen are the surfaces, your floor, your countertop. Surface area, as well as the face of your cabinet. So doing anything to upgrade any one of those can make a really big difference in the overall look of the kitchen.
Yeah, if you just reface the existing cabinets and put in plastic laminate countertops, the average cost is about $8,000. So right there, if you want to save money, I mean, you're saving $3,000 from the lowest cost of a fully remodeled kitchen with, you know, with quartz countertops, which are probably the most expensive countertops you can get.
Yeah, and you know what? We did a kitchen renovation recently on the Today's Homeowner television show where we only spent $1,200. Well, what can you possibly do to a 80s-style kitchen that would make it look better? Well, first of all, the countertop, as I said, the surface influences the look of that kitchen so much, so we put a stone coating over the whole thing. Only took about 3 hours. I was amazed at how nice that coating from Deitch Coatings looked. It really did make a difference. Changing the hardware, that's something that you take a piece of hardware off, go to the home center, make sure you're getting one that has the exact same offset and footprint. Changing all of that out makes the cabinets look a little more modern. And in this particular renovation, the floor was in fantastic shape. So we just covered it, protected it, and cleaned it well afterwards, and did a little bit of LED lighting on this particular one. And it's amazing what you can do if you just want to approach it like that. But now, if you're looking at your bathroom, the national average cost for a full bathroom renovation is between $4,500 and $9,000. And most homeowners spend around $5,500 for, you know, an average 45 to 50 square foot bathroom. if you have the separate tub and shower. Now, a partial renovation of, let's say, a little powder room can run as low as $1,600. Again, that's, you know, replacing the fixtures, doing something to the walls and the floor, because generally those areas are really, really small. Now, I'll tell you, for a full bathroom, a full master bathroom with the cutting edge smart home technology, all of these kind of things, might surprise you that that can exceed $100,000. So,
wow.
Well, that's a wide spread in there. And of course, this coming week, I'll be headed to the Kitchen and Bath Industry Show down in Orlando. And you know how they do it, a lot of those type of trade shows, Joe. There's always like a prototype over here in
right.
the corner, something.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, maybe it's one that you just think of the temperature you want, and it just automatically does that. I don't know if
right,
they've gotten to
right.
that point yet. But then you'll say, well, how much would that be? Well, we've only made three of these, and they're $35,000 a piece.
Exactly.
Oh, well, yeah. So, you know, it's for the show. You know, it's right. to draw people in. But that can, you know, run into a lot of money. Another thing we get a lot of calls on, Joe, is replacement windows. And
right.
again,
yep.
a lot of challenges on the supply and demand right now on ordering those windows and when, you know, weeks and months before you get them. But, you know, we have some national averages on that cost as well.
Yeah, we get those calls this time of year, especially, right, Danny, because it's cold outside and people mm-hmm. realize that cold air is blowing in and your heating costs are going up. So the national average cost to replace windows, and here we're talking about 10 vinyl double-hung windows with low-E glass, professionally installed, runs between $3,500 and $10,500, depending on where you are in the country. And most people are paying about $7,500. Now that actually, as opposed to $100,000 for a bath, that actually sounds pretty reasonable to me. I mean, someone's coming in and replacing 10 windows, so you don't have to do anything but get out of the way, and $7,500 on average. That seems pretty fair considering, you know, you're going to be making up some of that in just lower heating costs. So that's what you're looking at. Now, of course, if you put in a higher-end window, a wood window, something like that, the price is going to go up. But that's just to give you a ballpark idea. And you can get it done for around $3,500, again, depending on what part of the country you're in.
And I think that's a great example where we would recommend to people to really not do it yourself, because if you're able to get a window custom made for the opening, and all openings are slightly different, and they're able to remove that existing window, put the new window in, and the only thing you need to do in order to finish that out is a little bit of caulking, that makes a lot of
right.
sense. And it's amazing what those guys can do. And not only are you saving a little money on your energy bill there, but also it has proven through the real estate sales that it will increase the value of your home, because, you know, you think about an old obsolete window
right.
and then you think of another house similar that has nice brand new windows, you know, it does, you know, sway your decision a good bit.
And here we're talking about replacing windows entirely. And often if you have a window where the sash is the issue, but the window frame is in good shape, you can get sash replacement kits where they actually leave the window frame
uh-huh.
in place. They
mm-hmm.
just replace the sash, and the sash mm-hmm. are the parts that move up and down or swing out. And that would cut this cost probably by 40%. So again,
mm-hmm.
you know, it sort of depends on the shape of the existing windows. But even if you had to tear out the entire window frame and everything, looking at an average cost of about $7,500.
And like we do every week here on Today's Homeowner Radio, we want to just kind of keep you up to date on some of those real popular projects like that. Hey, coming up this hour, we're going to be talking about replacing garage doors. That's a big part of the front of many houses. So choosing the right one can really define the look of your home. We'll give you some things to think about on that. Also, we have a strange discovery in an attic after a roof was replaced. What can you do to kind of solve this condensation problem that's taking place? Also, another call that we get quite a bit is about aluminum siding. Can you successfully paint it? Will it hold up? And, you know, just what's involved in that process? Does it really make sense to maybe kind of revitalize that aluminum siding a little bit? Joe, what about a simple solution for us this hour?
I've got a quick tip on how to protect work pieces when working on sawhorses, because often, you know, sawhorse is a bit rough and might damage your work piece. So I've got a simple solution to prevent that from happening.
There we go. Now you see, we've got a lot of information that we're going to provide over this next hour. We're going to have a little fun. We're going to take some calls. We're going to read some emails and answer those. And all along the way, make sure we're giving you the most current information you're going to find anywhere. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio, and we'll be right back.
sound of you doing is music to our ears. Order on the Home Depot app and get convenient delivery so you don't have to stop doing when you need something. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Today's homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
You know, the Today's Homeowner radio show is heard coast to coast on some amazing radio stations like this one. And we want to say a special hello and thank you to everybody listening in Warrenton, Oregon on KAST 1370 AM. Special thanks to Scott Liddell there and all the team for having us on. We're really excited to be a part of KAST. This is a slot that was previously filled by our friends, the Carey Brothers, that hung up the microphone just a few months ago. And we're glad to be trying to fill their shoes and help you with the information that you look forward to each and every week. And you can reach out to us anytime by calling the Today's Homeowner Hotline, 800-946-4420, or you can send us an email anytime you wish at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now, we're going to go to South Carolina. Christy's on the line. Christy, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on around your house with these garage doors.
Well, thank you. I feel like I've done everything but ask the eight ball, and I just can't see the answer.
Well, I've got an eight ball here. I'll try mine. Go right ahead.
Yes. Well, I have a mid-century modern, at least that's what I'm told, and it's got siding and brick. And the fascia, an odd thing is, it's kind of hunter green, which I've never loved the hunter green. And my shutters are hunter green, as is the door and the garage doors. And we recently replaced the roof, which is now brown, and I'm leaning towards brown to paint the front door and the garage door, but one of my neighbors said that I should match the siding.
I'm looking at a picture of that, and I can't quite tell. That siding looks like a kind of a beige or yellow color.
It is a beige, and not one of the nice modern beiges either.
Well, I mean, certainly brown would go with that. And there's a lot of different browns out there and a lot of more modern colors that are lighter browns that would be suitable to that. Now, are you looking to replace your garage doors or just trying to work the paint out a little bit better here?
Well, they are wood, and they're very heavy, and I think it's just time. In the neighborhood, most people just go ahead and replace the doors themselves.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how to know if that's necessary.
Well, I mean, if the doors are working well, even though they're the heavy wood doors, if you don't have any type of visible rot on it, and the mechanisms are working well when you push your openers to open and close them, you can always benefit by putting some lithium grease on all of the working parts to make it move a little easier and certainly quietens it down a good bit. There's no reason to replace them if they're working well. I hate to see you spend a lot of money just strictly for the look of the house when you can alter that a good bit by painting and maybe trying some alternates on the trim. Joe, what do you think on something like that? I mean, wooden doors almost have gotten obsolete, but if it's still working, no need to tear them out of there.
They aren't working.
Oh.
No, the springs are not in good shape. It goes partially up and comes back down. So it is time for new openers. And that's why when they come out, they just say you should just replace the whole shebang. Because mm-hmm. I will need new track and I don't like the spring. Right. So it's one of those things where they just say it's better to just do it all now.
Well, if you're going to be replacing the doors and the openers, it is better to do it all at once.
Right.
And if you want to match mid-century modern architecture, they do have mid-century modern garage door designs, which are often characterized by clean geometric lines and very minimalist look. They often have flat panels, not raised panels or recessed panels, or they might have narrow horizontal wood slats. And they have typically don't have any windows, or if they have windows, they're very narrow. Or interestingly, either they have really narrow rectangular windows that are stacked all on one end, or they have it's an aluminum frame panel with all glass. So it kind of goes back and forth between either all glass or very little glass. In any case, they do make mid-century modern garage doors if you want to keep
right,
that look,
yeah.
And then paint it whatever color you want. And as far as the shutters and the fascia that are green, before I painted the house or do anything, I'd just change that part because you could always go back and paint the house, but it'd be a lot of work and expense to paint the entire house at this point. And I know you're not thrilled with the, it's not maybe a very modern beige look, but it's not offensive. It's the green that you have the most problems with. So I would change all the green and then take a look at it. You might like it. And if the paint on the siding is fine, then I would leave it. But if your question is, can you find a mid-century modern design in your garage doors, you absolutely can. And that would match the look of the rest of the house.
Is the house mid-century modern? It was built in the mid-70s, so I'm not even convinced. I think it's just weird.
Yeah, that's a little beyond mid-century, obviously means the 50s, maybe into the 60s. But it doesn't mean you could build a house today that has that looks like a mid-century modern, even if it isn't.
Right.
It isn't. I'm looking at your house and it's sort of, I'm not sure what I'd call this, but you could probably get away with mid-century modern. It has a relatively low roof pitch and, you know, the windows on the right side where you have, is that a like a sunroom or something? I mean, that's very modern.
That's the front door.
Okay. Looks like a lot of glass there.
Yes. And it's dark, which is why I wanted to go with a dark garage door to kind of offset the other side.
Okay. Well, it's dark.
Because my neighbor who said match the siding, she said, why do I want my garage door to stand out by making it dark? And I thought it was the opposite. If I do light, that will make it stand out.
If you make it lighter than the siding, that's right. I mean, I have a gray, my house is stained gray, dark gray, and we have white trim. And I had new garage doors installed a few years ago, and I painted them white.
Right.
I mean, you don't see it from the street, so it's a little different than what you have.
And it's so much a personal preference on that type of thing, Christy. And my house is a kind of a green color, but I have dark stained garage doors. They look really good. And so I wouldn't be concerned about that. But one of the things you can do, there are a lot of visualizers that are available online. And I'm sure a number of the paint companies, as well as the garage door companies, have those available. That all you do is take a picture of your house, download it, and then you can place different garage doors and different colors on your shutters and so forth, and kind of like almost photoshopping the look of the house, and that'll give you more confidence in choosing the right color and choosing the right garage doors on there, because I like to have the fixed glass in my garage door because I like to have that natural light in the garage. So that's another option that you have there.
Sadly, I have done that. I think am down to the eight ball.
Oh, boy.
Because I have done it. It's just, I don't know. I'm going to know as soon as they bring them if it's the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, it's going to be just, I guess, too bad because they've already told me once they order them, they're mine.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be careful on that. And one of the things that you can also do is ride around some of the newer neighborhoods and look at some of the garage doors that have been placed here and there. And you'll find one that strikes you as the one you need for your house, because you don't want to sit there holding your breath when they're installing them, hoping that you like it.
Right.
So just spend a little more time on that. But Christy, thanks for being with us here on today's Homeowner Radio. If we can help you any other way, let us know, and best of luck to you on that project.
Thank you so much.
Okay, our pleasure. It's always hard when you're trying to make those decisions on colors,
right.
And you know, people struggle with it all the time. And you know, and everybody, you know how those opinions are thrown around quite a bit. You'll get people that'll tell you, oh no, you have to do this, like there's no other way. But it's really what you like.
Very few rules, right?
And so many times it's just get out and ride around a little bit, get online and browse through some of the imagery that's out there.
And in a case like Christy, where her garage doors are facing the street, those are two big doors, you know, which make it, you know, really important to pick the right paint color. In my case, my garage doors are perpendicular to the street, so you don't really see it till you pull up, which makes it really easy when I have to snowplow the driveway. You can just push the snow right into the woods instead of up against the garage doors.
Exactly, exactly. Well, we're just getting started here on today's Homeowner Radio. Coming up, we're going to kind of help a homeowner out that has discovered something in their attic, and they're trying to figure out what they can do about it because it's causing a little problem with condensation. Kind of a unique situation, but one that maybe you might be facing now or sometime in the future. That's what we do a lot of times here on today's Homeowner Radio, tackle all kinds of issues that you have around your home. And we're going to do that when we come back here on today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to today's Homeowner Radio, the number one place for practical, realistic home improvement tips. Call anytime, 800-946-4420. 800-946-4420. Today's homeowner is brought to you by Tight Bond, the pro's advantage.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our best new product segment brought to you by the Home Depot, how doers get more done. You know, for most homeowners, a short step ladder is the most commonly used ladder around the house for a variety of projects. So the folks at Gorilla put their focus on designing one that solves all the problems you've ever had with a traditional step ladder. This new 5.5-foot ladder features dual platform top steps, giving you 3 times more step depth than a regular ladder, so you have a safe and comfortable place to complete any work you have there without hurting your feet. Now, the removable bucket tray offers a really large, accessible work area that's perfect for paint cans or trays, tools, hardware, and any materials that you might need while you're working up on the ladder. And it stores conveniently out of the way when your project is complete. The aluminum construction makes it lightweight yet strong enough for a 300-pound rating, and the unique design lets you open and close the ladder with just one hand. Plus, even though it's only 5.5 foot tall, it has the same reach of 10 foot as a standard 6 foot ladder. So if you'd like to check out this Gorilla dual platform ladder, head over to HomeDepot.com. Can't have too many ladders, and one that makes it a little safer only makes a lot of sense there. So, all right, well, let's run to Alabama, and Remy's on the line right now. Hey, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on around your house.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Danny. Danny, before I say anything, I want to tell you, you got some beautiful grandchildren, and I envy you. But with a daughter as beautiful as Chelsea, what would you get but beautiful grandchildren?
Well, I appreciate that, and I agree with you, and I look forward to actually seeing them later today to cut up a little bit.
There's some beautiful children.
Thank you so much, Remy.
And let me ask you one other thing.
Sure.
Why are you so stupid to go up and put insulation in an attic with your daughter when it's 100 degrees outside?
Well, we've got to hit those deadlines on our television show, so we're fearless. We'll Plus, I lost about 5 pounds during that exercise, so that's always good.
Yeah. I bought this house up here about 6 years ago, and it did have a shingle roof on it, and the guy that I had inspect the place was former troubleshooter for a metal roofing company and suggested I use metal, which I went with. I looked over the contract just the other day after I talked to your producer, and it says in there, remove all static vents. And I got to thinking, why did they do that? Number one, although the guy that inspected the house and recommended the metal roofs showed me pictures of the shingles with nails coming up out. He said, that shows intense heat in the attic. He said, so you need to get it vented. So I went ahead and had a hole cut in the eave on the one side and a fan put in there. But what happened was I went up into the roof because of a leak around the boot, one of the boots, and I saw this 12-inch by 12-inch cut in the planks. It's not plywood, it's planking up there. And I thought, and then the underlay is, you can see the underlay, and there's condensation dripping on that. And then all of a sudden it all clicked. I thought that moron took all those static vents off, and instead of filling those holes in with, I guess, another piece of wood, he just put the underlay over it and then put the metal on top of it.
Yeah, that's not the way it's supposed to be, because even though the metal will span over, you know, a 12-inch space, you still need to have something solid there for the very thing that you're talking about here. And so you're having water condensating then on the underside of that, I understand.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's correct, Danny.
Well, I mean, that makes sense that it would, because, you know, the differences in temperature between outside and inside is going to allow that. I'll tell you, you know, the simplest thing, really, and it's unfortunate that you actually have to do it behind these roofers, but to just take a piece of plywood, it's probably half-inch plywood, I would guess, might be three-quarter, and just cut that 12-inch by 12-inch square, and then attach a one by, you know, attach maybe... I would take it and you would put it up in place. I would always use some construction adhesive to kind of hold it up there, and then take a 2x4 and go from rafter to rafter to support it. And in a situation like that, using screws in your screw gun's a lot easier than trying to bang away with a hammer up there. And that way you can screw all of that in place, get the support that you need in that little area, and prevent the condensation, that exchange of different temperatures from outside to inside. And that'll solve the problem. Again, unfortunate that you have to do it after you've spent all the money on the roof.
Yeah, and Danny, one other thing. I was told that a metal roof was essentially maintenance-free, but when I had a guy come out here to look at the boot and the leak from that, he said, no. He says, you got to, because I told him, I said, all these screws on the edge here feel like they're loose. And he said, yeah, you got to go back every so often and tighten all those screws down, because the wind gets underneath there and lifts those panels up. And I wasn't told that.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right to me. First of all, nothing is no maintenance. We always have to refer to it as low maintenance, because you're going to paint it this, that, or the other. But you should not have to touch any of those screws and tighten them or anything. They're not going, I mean, in a rare situation, expansion and contraction might back a screw out. But for the most part, that's not true. It doesn't require a regular retightening of the screws in those kind of situations.
Well, some are loose along the edge. I noticed that, because when I cleaned the gutters out, I've tried some with a little wrench, and they turned and went down. And then some just free spin, like they're not in the wood at all.
Well, that's what I was going to say. A lot of those that are loose just didn't hit something that it needed to hit, didn't really get into the meat of the wood or whatever it's going into. So maybe a slightly longer screw will prevent you from having to do that over and over. Just make sure you get those that are rated for outdoor use, because it's going to be right out there in the sun and the rain.
Right, and they have a rubber gasket on them also.
Right. Yeah, you might have to get a handful of those. Just get them a little bit longer and then try to maybe slant the screw a little bit so that you're getting into some real meat there.
And, Danny, one last thing. If I put caulking around that square of wood that I put up in there, that should be insulative enough to keep that moisture from coming through, correct?
Yeah, that's a good point that I didn't mention. I would certainly do that once you get it in place. Then just go ahead and just put plenty of caulk all the way around that perimeter, so that you're still not getting any chance for that moisture to migrate through.
Excellent. Hey, thank you, guys. And I'm going to do something you wouldn't do, Danny. I'm going up there now while it's nice and cool, instead of waiting until it's 105 degrees outside.
Well, you're smart to do that, because that was no fun in that attic at 100 plus degrees.
And, you know, you got a girly girl there, so don't treat her like a man.
Well, you need to talk to her about how she picks on me all the time. That's what happens, see?
Thank you so much, guys.
Hey, thanks so much for being with us here on the radio show, as well as watching the television show, and hope we can help you again, Remy. You take care and have a great weekend. He just couldn't wait to give me a hard time on that. But
that's right.
All right, well, you're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. We've got a lot more information to share with you, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Then take our easy-to-understand practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading the Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have access to the latest tips, tricks, and answers to your home improvement questions. It's like having Danny Lipford and his crew right there with you while you work. Subscribe to the Today's Homeowner podcast today through your favorite podcast app, or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn more.
Got a project? Tight Bond wood glues are preferred by pro woodworkers more than 7-to-1. Why? Because Tight Bond is professional strength, even stronger than the wood itself. Tight Bond is versatile,
perfect for interior and exterior woodworking, and the best choice for home repairs. Tight Bond is tough and durable, outlasting extreme weather conditions and conquering demanding projects. Tight Bond Wood Glues, the trusted choice for the pro in you.
Are drafty windows causing a chill in your home? Keep the cold out with Duck Brand Max Strength Rolled Window Insulation Kits. This window film creates an added barrier between warm inside air and the frigid temperatures outside, blocking drafts that steal energy and drive up your heating bill. The puncture-resistant film is 2 times thicker than standard window kits, so it's great for high traffic or pet-friendly homes. And the crystal clear film is easy to install and remove once warmer weather arrives. Visit duckbrand.com to find a retailer near you.
Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of.
Is your backyard more blah than ah? If so, then you need to enter the Backyard Paradise Contest, brought to you by our friends at Pavestone and Quikrete. One lucky contestant will win their own luxurious landscape. The Pavestone and Quikrete pros will design a project just for the winner's home, worth up to $10,000, and help Danny and his team install it. Plus, the whole process will be featured on an episode of Today's Homeowner TV.
So get your yard ready for warmer weather. Enter now.
Just go to todayshomeowner.com/backyardparadise.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I want to remind you about the Today's Homeowner Newsletter. Our e-newsletter goes out each and every week. A lot of great information in there, some great tips, a few little simple solutions, just about everything you need to keep your house in great shape. All you need to do in order to receive our free newsletter, go to todayshomeowner.com/newsletter. Right now, we're going to head to Illinois. Steve is on the line. Steve, how are you doing? And tell us what's going on with your house there.
Oh, hi. This Dan?
Yes, it is. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Dan. My wife and I are same house, well, better than 50 years. About 45 years ago, we had it covered with aluminum siding and started, probably 5 or 4 years ago, and started having some yellow stains kind of running down the sides. And we contacted the people who actually did the siding for us, and they told us that they didn't paint siding or anything. All they did was put new siding up. So anyway, I'm just wondering if there's anything that I could do to get the yellowing off.
Sure, you certainly can. There's a couple things. First of all, you would want to try to clean it and to use trisodium phosphate, which is TSP, is something that's readily available at any home center or paint store. And you want to try to clean it first by using that, just to see if you can get some of the yellow streaks.
TSP.
Uh-huh. Yes, uh-huh.
Okay.
TSP cleaner, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd want to try that first and see, you know, you can always try it on a small area and see if it makes a difference on it. But if it is a situation, and of course with it being 45 years old, it may have chalked out enough that it's not going to really make a big difference in cleaning it.
Mm-hmm.
And you may want to consider painting it. You can paint it very successfully. Joe, I know this is a question that we've gotten in the past.
Sure.
I've successfully painted a number of houses like that, but a little bit of process involved in it.
Yeah, Steve, like any painting project, the prep work is the most important. What color is the siding, first of all?
It's white.
It's white. So you're seeing yellow streaks.
Uh-huh.
With the TSP cleaning, you might get those yellow streaks off. Now, you get it off, and you're still going to have 45-year-old siding on there. So,
sure.
I suspect that you probably would want to paint it. And you can, you know, you can just use exterior grade acrylic latex paint. Find one that it's compatible with metal.
Okay.
And you'd want to use a satin or a flat finish.
Yes.
Or sheen. They call it a sheen. because you don't want anything too high gloss, because that would be reflective and every little dimple or dent would show up.
Sure.
But yeah, you can, as Danny said, you can certainly paint aluminum siding. I mean, the easiest thing, of course, to hire a professional, they'd come and they'd spray the whole house, and that would be quick and relatively inexpensive considering, you know, you have a whole house to do.
Yeah.
But you could do it yourself if it's a small enough house. But if the question is, can you paint aluminum siding? Absolutely. In fact, it holds paint really well, as you've discovered. So congratulations on having 45-year-old aluminum siding.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
You found the same contractor. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the contractor's been around a lot longer than that. Did you mean spray paint now?
Yeah, professional would probably spray it.
Okay.
The other way you can do it is they can roll it on and then back brush it lightly to take out, you know, to even out the paint.
I see. Okay.
But yeah, either way, it takes a lot longer, obviously, to roll it or brush it on.
Sure. Well, I wouldn't be doing it myself. It's a two-story house.
Oh, okay.
I was just a little surprised when I talked to the guys that did it and said, no, we don't paint. All we do is sell. We just sell aluminum siding. So I said, well, okay, I'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But very good, very good. I'll try that cleaner, that TCP cleaner you're talking about first and see if I can get some of the yellowing off. But I do know if I brush up against it, I do get some chalk-like stuff on it.
Right. That's exactly right. That'll come right off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the TSP will take that right off. You'll just have to see how the finish looks after that and if you're able to do that. But Steve, thanks so much for listening to us there in Springfield, Illinois, and we appreciate you being a part of the show. If we can help you any other way, let us know. Best of luck on your project and have a great weekend. Okay, we want to also remind you about something here. This is very important. This is your chance to win an outdoor living space worth up to $10,000. Plus, the winner's makeover project will be featured on an upcoming episode of the Today's Homeowner television show. So here's all you have to do is fill out the entry form at todayshomeowner.com/backyardparadise and make sure you tell us why your yard is in need of a makeover. And we'd love to see some pictures, maybe a video there, and have some fun with that. Send that on in. And again, that is todayshomeowner.com/backyardparadise. And this great contest is brought to you every year by our friends at Pavestone and Quikrete. Won't be long. We're a little earlier on that this year than we normally are because we want to really, you know, do the entire backyard makeover, create the episode, and air that particular show in May when everybody really starts thinking about making that backyard a little nicer. So, hey, you're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lippert along with my buddy Joe Truini. We've got a lot more information coming up, including that simple solution. Joe, tell us about that.
All right. This is how to use sawhorses when working on finished pieces, meaning pieces that are painted or stained or something like that. You don't want to get them all scratched up. So I have a way to make what I'm calling a sawhorse saddle.
Hmm.
Dan, you have a saddle on your sawhorse?
I don't have one yet, but I might after I hear these words of wisdom from you, my friend.
All right.
Hey, you're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Looking to update the look of your fireplace mantle? I've got just what you need at checkinginwithchelsea.com. Just search for fireplace plans for free printable plans. Then watch my how-to video of this simplistic but sophisticated design, and you're on your way to building your own fireplace mantle too. I can't wait to see what you build, so be sure to share your mantles by tagging me on social media. I'm at checkinginwithchelsea. Again, the plans and video are online now at checkinginwithchelsea.com.
When you're working with wood, it's important to have the right tool for the job. Whether you need hand tools, power tools, finishing supplies, or just some good advice, the place to go is woodcraft.com. If you prefer hands-on help, stop by one of the 75 Woodcraft retail stores where you'll find classes taught by woodworking experts plus all the latest woodworking tools and supplies. Woodcraft for all your woodworking needs. Visit them in person or at woodcraft.com or call 1-800-535-4486.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautifully tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with SimpleMat from Custom Building Products. SimpleMat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. There's no mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
From installing a smart garage door opener, to installing a bathroom faucet, to removing a tree. The Home Depot believes you can do anything, especially the things we have how-to guides for. Visit HomeDepot.com for thousands of tips, workshops, and ideas for projects, big and small. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. It's time for a very popular part of the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, and that's when Joe Truini, my capable co-host, shares with us yet another simple solution. Joe, tell us about this sawhorse saddle.
All right, Danny, here you go. To prevent sawhorses from scratching up finished pieces, you know, if you're working on a painted door or cabinet or anything like that, piece of furniture, what you can do is protect the piece by covering the sawhorses with our favorite product here at Simple Solutions, pool noodles.
All right, pool noodles.
Is anybody
time.
Actually using pool noodles in a pool? I'm not sure.
Nah, there's probably too many other good uses for those.
That's right. We should come out with a Today's Homeowner branded pool noodle. So here's what you do. You have to cut it to length. And the easiest way to cut these pool noodles, by the way, is with a serrated bread knife. That's what I found works well. So you take the pool noodle, cut it to length, about an inch or so longer than the horizontal rail of the sawhorse itself. And then with your utility knife, slit it lengthwise. So right, one cut all the way along the whole length, and that allows you to open it up. And then you slip it over the top of the sawhorse. It's as simple as that. And it's nice and protected. It holds, grips really tightly. It's not going to slide off. And at the end of the day, of course, you can pull off the pool noodles. And by the way, we often say, if you've got a tip that you use and like a lot, send it to us. Maybe we'll use it on the radio. And that's exactly what happened here. Tom from New York, a listener, sent in this idea. And not only did I using it here on the radio, shot a video of it, which you can go and see right now at todayshomeowner.com/simplesolutions. And so here's another use for pool noodles.
There you go. That's great. Yeah, anything that you have that's maybe a little tip that an uncle, an aunt, an old friend, your grandfather shared with you that works well around the house, don't just assume that everybody else in the country knows about it. And that's why we want you to use us to share it with the Today's Homeowner community throughout the country. If it's something that you can tell us by leaving us a message, you can pick up the phone, 800-946-4420. Call the Today's Homeowner hotline and let us know about it. We'll share it with everybody else. And you can also send it by email by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. It's always fun, though, Joe. And at some point, we will be putting that Simple Solutions book together. That would be a lot of fun.
That'd be good. Yeah. And there's the rumor going around that I'm mentioning a lot of pool noodle Simple Solutions because I'm hoping to be inducted into the Pool Noodle Hall of Fame. If that happens, I will accept gracefully, but that's not the main reason I'm using pool noodles all the time around the house.
But Joe, we want you to know that we support that effort.
Okay, thank you.
We want you to win the Golden Pool Noodle Award, and we'll take a picture of you with your award.
Yes.
And this will be a big day for you. I hope it works.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so. I'll invite you to the ceremony.
And, you know, when you look for pool noodles, it's interesting.
Right.
There are some of them that are so small in diameter. I mean, right. You know, that little tiny ones, and then you've got the deluxe pool noodles.
Right,
so
that's right.
The whole line of pool noodles. Then we talk about the designer colors. You know,
that's
the colors,
yeah.
And the color of the year. The color of the year for pool noodles is a kind of a pewter gray.
Is that it?
So,
okay. Yeah.
So it's.
I've seen some that are actually shaped like a flower. If you cross cut it, actually look. It's not completely round. I'm not sure what that's for.
Well, you know, we were having a little trouble with the little filters in our aquarium.
Right.
And so I'm online looking for little things to do. You know, I assume they said line this up, do that. No. Take a pool noodle.
There you go.
And cut about 3/4 of an inch off the end of it.
All
and
right.
Use that kind of as a sponge-like wedge to wedge in behind one part of it. And so I did that, and I put them in there. And it helped a little bit and everything. But with the vibration and everything, at some point, they floated out.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And I didn't bother telling my wife that I had done that, and she was so puzzled why these strange-looking little sponges were floating around in there. But I want to remind you what you can see on the Today's Homeowner television show this week. It's The Tale of Two patios. We have a really unique, we've been talking about pavers and pavestone. We'll show you how we designed and utilized pavestone in a pretty unique situation with two fantastic homeowners. And we created this beautiful paver patio, and you can go to todayshomeowner.com and find out where you can see it in your area. I'm Danny Lifford along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thanks so much for spending this hour with us here on Today's Homeowner Radio.